Every knee will bow, every eye will see. Thanks for listening to the Parks Church of Melissa podcast. We meet at 10:30 Sunday mornings at Melissa Middle School, and we look forward to seeing you there soon. The Parks Church, for the city, about a person.
So I invite you to open up your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Verse 12 is where Ryan left off last Sunday, and we continue to hear words of wisdom from Solomon. In these proverb-like verses, he writes it similar. Ecclesiastes follows the book of Proverbs, and the way that it's written follows that same rhetoric in chapter 10 in these proverb-like statements that he makes. He just spouts them off kind of verse by verse, telling us the difference between wisdom and folly or being a fool, helping us in these day-to-day situations, helping us with practical living where we really need to make wise choices. So in chapter 10, verse 12, if you don't have a Bible, there is a Bible under the first chair of every row. You can pass that down if you need one. It'll also be on the screen behind me, and I'm also okay with you using the Bible app. I like that one too. I get a little bit nervous with students. I don't know if they're Instagramming or Snapchatting, but the Bible app's cool too. So Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 12 through 20. He says, "The words of a wise man's mouth win him favor, but the lips of a fool consume him. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is evil madness. A fool multiplies words, though no man knows what it is to be, and who can tell him what will be after him? The toil of a fool wearies him, for he does not know the way to the city. Woe to you, O land, when your king is a child and your princes feast in the morning. And happy are you, O land, when your king is the son of the nobility and your princes feast at the proper time for strength and not for drunkenness. Through sloth, the roof sinks in, and through indolence, the house leaks. Bread is made for laughter, and wine gladdens life, and money answers everything. Even in your thoughts, do not curse the king, nor in your bedroom curse the rich. For a bird of the air will carry your voice, or some winged creature tell the matter." Amen. Now, one of the wisest preachers of all time, in my opinion, Charles Spurgeon, once said, "The doorstep to the temple of wisdom is the knowledge of our own ignorance." The doorstep to the temple of wisdom is the knowledge of our own ignorance. You think about that, church. This remark puts us in our proper place, right? It helps us know where to begin when we start this pursuit of wisdom. We have to admit our own foolishness. We have to admit that we're not perfect, that we don't know everything, and that true wisdom, true authentic wisdom, not just book knowledge, not just things that are going to help us in the way that we manage maybe our finances or the way that we work at our jobs, but true authentic wisdom through God's word comes from him and comes from his holy word. And so this morning, if those of you take notes, we're going to look at three different things this morning. The first thing that these verses are broken into is the wise use of our words, the wise use of our words. The second thing we'll look at is the wise use of our efforts or our work. And finally, we'll look at the wise use of our money. And so starting at the wise use of our words, the wise use of our words, I'm going to kind of go through a different translation as we walk through these verses again. I read it in the English Standard Version, which is what we use consistently each week here at the Parks Church. But as we walk through these next verses, I've got them on the screen, I will. But I'm going to use the New Century Version. And so that's NCV. So if you have an electronic Bible, you can kind of pull over to that NCV and follow along with me. But the reason I want to do that is I think it's a little bit easier to follow. Some of these verses are a little confusing to me, and for me, it's easier to understand. And so maybe for you, it'll be a little easier to understand in the context that we're looking at this morning. And so God wants us to look at the wise use of our words. Verses 12 through 14 in the New Century Version say this: "The words of the wise bring them praise or favor, but the words of a fool will destroy them. A fool begins by saying foolish things and ends up by saying crazy and wicked things. A fool talks too much. No one knows the future, and no one can tell what will happen after death." So verse 12, Solomon's talking about the words of a wise man bring him praise or favor. So is he talking about a good reputation there? Yes, he is. A wise man with the way he speaks has a good reputation. But the literal translation out of the Hebrew is the word hen, H-E-N, or grace. This favor or praise that is undeserved, right? Not one that's been tried to sought after. Not that one that's one's been trying to get, but just grace. Just like the grace we receive from Christ. Favor, praise that is undeserved. A wise person speaks with grace and shows grace to others. They bless others. They encourage others. And they love with their words. They love with their words. And obviously, church, this goes without saying, not many of us think this way all the time, right? We don't think about when we open our mouth, how is the way we're going to speak encouraging one another? How is it encouraging or blessing someone else? Are we loving with the words that we say? Because if you're like me, a lot of the times I'm thinking about myself. And I'm thinking about the words that I want to get across are going to accomplish whatever I'm trying to get done, whatever task I'm trying to complete, whatever thing I need to be done to be more productive. I'm thinking about myself most of the time. Although I was pulling out a racetrack the other day and unfortunately pulled out in front of somebody else, and the guy told me I was number one, so I thought that was pretty encouraging. I wish that was not the case. He didn't hit me, but I thought that was a little encouraging. I like that. But it is. The words of a wise bring them praise and a grace, an undeserved grace. And then he moves into verses 13 and 14, starting out, a fool begins by saying foolish things. And the way that he's saying this is, you know what I'm talking about. You've been at the office, students, you've been at school. You say something funny about somebody. You know what I'm saying? You say something funny about somebody and you get a little bit of a laugh. Hey, a laugh feels good, right? Your mind starts thinking, hey, that dopamine goes off in your head and you're like, hey, that was pretty funny. I'm going to say a little bit more, right? And so we start out by saying these foolish things that may seem comedic, may seem funny at times, but they turn into worse things. They turn into what Solomon says, crazy, wicked things. In the ESV, it said evil madness. And what he's saying is that means that's hurtful, vindictive, sinful words against others or God, because it starts out feeling pretty good to say something funny, but you can't just continue to say the same thing, so you have to go a step further. And our words are powerful. And so we say foolish things that end up becoming hurtful, vindictive, sinful words. You see, church, a wise person speaks with gentleness when emotions are able to be controlled. A wise person knows how to use words of reconciliation, words like, I'm sorry, words like, please forgive me. A wise person speaks with words of love and care, like we said earlier. We bless others, we encourage, we love with our words. And as Christians, those of you that call yourselves Christ followers, those that you have said yes to Jesus and know that your eternity is secure in Christ, we live today to be called to be ministers of reconciliation. You've heard that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We talk about it in our partnership class. We talk about it constantly, that we are all called to be ministers of the gospel, ministers of reconciliation. And that word reconciliation, meaning that we put others before ourselves, that we try to reconcile relationships, that we try to speak with love, that we try to speak with care and bless others. We're also called to speak the truth of gospel, the truth of the gospel in love, from Ephesians chapter 4. And yet so often we tend to let our foolish words come to the surface. Our sinful nature comes through and we don't speak with wisdom like Solomon urges us to here in verses 13 or 12 through 14. Why do we speak with folly? Why do we speak as a fool? Is it our sinful nature? Yes, that's what comes naturally to us. Is it because we're train wrecks, as Ryan says every week? Obviously, that's true. But look at verse 14 in the NCV. A fool talks too much. A fool talks too much. Church, may we be slow to speak and quick to listen. May we be slow to speak and quick to listen. So often we speak too quickly with emotions. And our words can come out hurtful. They come out rash. They come out relationship altering or even relationship ruining because we speak too quick and we don't step back for a moment and understand where the person that we're talking with is coming from. We speak too quickly instead of listening first. He then moves on to verse 20. Kind of skips over a few verses and talks about our words again at the end of the passage in verse 20. He says, don't make fun of the king. This again, New Century Version. And don't make fun of rich people, even in your bedroom. A little bird might carry your words. A bird might fly and tell what you said. Solomon gives us a perfect example of what happens when we're not wise or careful with our words, specifically with gossip and criticizing others behind their back. Some of y'all are like, ooh, he wasn't going to talk about that today, right? Gossip, that's not a real sin. That's just kind of what I do with my friends at home, right? No. Solomon points at it specifically. And in this context, Solomon is referring to people in authority. He's referring to people with power, political influence, which I think applies to us as Christians. We need to remember, and this is not a political statement, this is not a political platform, I understand that, but as Christians, we need to remember before, during, and after every election cycle, we're not to curse or to degrade our leaders. As Christians, we pray for our leaders. God has put people in place, and His Word tells us that we are to give Caesar what is Caesar's, and that we are to respect those that are put in authority above us. Whether we agree with their positions or not, we respect and we pray for our leaders. If we don't agree with them, what even more reason to pray that God would transform their heart? In Exodus chapter 22, verse 28, we studied this book last year. It says, you shall not curse a ruler of your people. So may we be gracious and may we pray and support in Jesus' name those that are put in power or political influence above us. But I do think this example is also very relevant in our daily lives and in our interactions that we have with friends, with coworkers, with neighbors, with our families. You see, gossip, talking behind someone's back, is a slippery slope. You never know who might be listening. As Solomon points out, even a bird might listen to that, carry your words, and carry it back to somebody else. In our context, small children, right? You never know. At the dinner table, my four-year-old, almost to be four-year-old, is saying a lot more than she was 2 years ago. Now be careful who I talk to you about, right? You never know who's going to take it back to that person. Commentator Philip Ryken put it this way, say something stupid, and before you know it, the whole world knows about it, right? And by the way, Solomon didn't even have social media to deal with at that time, right? Students, I think if he would have written this book in our day and age, if he would have written these verses, he may have added something like, don't even make fun of someone on Snapchat, even if it is with a cute filter. Because they may screenshot that sucker and send it right back to the person that you're talking about. Amen, right? Golly. Social media. I wish I was back in biblical times so I didn't have to deal with that. But words are powerful, church, and Solomon knew this. We must be wise with the use of our words because of the power they hold. Our mouth, our tongue, very powerful in the words that we use. And Solomon knew that. That's why he spent so much time talking about the wise use of our words. So secondly, he talks about the wise use of our efforts or our work. Solomon addresses something that he addressed before in the beginning of Ecclesiastes in chapter 2. He looks at this expenditure of effort and the subject of work, working wisely. And so he's going to use examples of royalty and those in power through these verses because it's what he knew. He's what he was a part of. It's King Solomon. He was around those people each and every day. So he spoke to what he knew. But nevertheless, this still applies to us. And these words God will use in a mighty way in our everyday living if we will just allow him to. If we'll read it with an open heart, with an open mind, not closed off, but in a chance to be convicted and challenged by the Lord. So the wise use of our efforts or work. Again, in the New Century Version, verses 15 through 18 says this, work wears fools out. They don't even know how to get home. How terrible it is for a country whose king is a child and whose leaders eat all morning. How lucky a country is whose king comes from a good family, whose leaders eat only at mealtime and for strength, not to get drunk. If someone is lazy, the roof will begin to fall. If he doesn't fix it, the house will leak. They're just so real. That NCV just makes so much sense to me. It's just practical verses. And in verse 15 through 17, he compares kingdoms, right? He compares one that is poorly governed, where those in power feast, drink champagne each morning, instead of getting to work like the king mentions in verse 17. How lucky a country is whose king comes from a good family, where they eat at mealtime, they get to work, they're productive. But also in verse 15, he says, work wears a fool out. They don't even know how to get home. Now, studying this, he's not really saying a fool gets worn out by working hard at their job or hard at their task, but by fooling around when they ought to be actually working and being productive. And so I thought about that for a second. I said, man, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Every knee will bow, every eye will see, everyone will shout, Jesus Christ.